This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
Coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. When it's cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need to keep your vehicle toasty warm. From choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you get your car or truck in fighting shape for the cold weather ahead. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Yesterday during the program, all heck broke loose. I mean, it was ridiculous. For about 2.5 hours, it slowed down a little bit over the last 45 minutes or so of the show, but we just had tweet after tweet, trade after trade. Younger players in, and I think they got better, maybe a lot better. We go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Tim Cato from SB Nation joining us. Tim, Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Matt?
I am wonderful. All right, so are the Cavaliers, and I know it's only on paper, but are the Cavaliers, in your mind, the best team in the Eastern Conference now?
On paper, not yet. I want to see how this team comes together. I think that they definitely got better. I think they had to do this. I think that, you know, if anything, just getting that locker room and getting those players out of there, you know, the Isaiah Thomas and Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade, people who are not happy, and, you know, former superstars who kind of had a way that they thought things should be, but they're not those players anymore. You know, that was necessary. And I think that alone is going to make the team better. And I think that, you know, of these pieces, of these players that they picked up, you know, I think that they've opened up their lineup, so they have a lot more looks, a lot more versatility, a lot more flexibility. I'm still not certain, you know, I'm gonna give them the easy straight path to the finals, to the Eastern Conference. I think that the two teams that they're going to have to face, Boston and Toronto, are going to probably be the toughest two teams that they've had to face over the past, you know, ever since LeBron came back. And I think that this team is not as good as any team since LeBron came back. You know, I think that Kyrie Irving was that good, mm-hmm. and you have Kevin Love on all those three teams, and you don't have Kyrie anymore. And so I think that, you know, this team is a lot better from where it was, you know, earlier this week before the trades. But I don't think that they're the Eastern Conference favorite just yet. Although I definitely think they have a much, much better shot than they did before.
Tim, I know Isaiah Thomas's play on the court was not good, and I know that he was a guy who is rehabbing a very serious injury with his hip. But did he talk his way out of Cleveland, or did his play send him out of Cleveland?
I think it has to be a bit of both. I don't think that is his talk and, you know, the way that he was lighting people up and, you know, trying to say that, but Kevin Love was faking injuries and stuff like this, you know, on and on and on. But that surely could not have helped, and you know, clearly, you know, the chemistry is bad, but you know, the chemistry, you know, has been bad before, and you know, there have been issues. So I think he contributed to that, and I think that was a reason that kind of pushed him out. But I don't necessarily think he would have been safe even without all that stuff, because clearly something needed to change, and you know, maybe they do keep him around because their ceiling is higher if Isaiah Thomas reaches the point where he was last season. But you know, with the way that team was struggling, and you know, the poor chemistry is probably a factor in that too. You know, but the way the team was struggling, they had to make some pretty big moves. They had to revamp that roster and kind of restart and refresh around LeBron James. And I think it's a bit of both. And you know, I think that, you know, the team is better off for where they are now.
Tim Cato covers the NBA, SB Nation, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. I made this case yesterday, and I've been asking this question to people who have come on the show talking about what happened in the trade at the trade deadline. But when you look at the George Hill and the Rodney Hood moves, the Larry Nance Jr. moves, when you have Kyle Korver there already, does Kevin Love fit on this roster?
Yeah, definitely. And I would say that he's even more important now because he is firmly, you know, decidedly the second best player on the team, and he has to show it. I think that, you know, clearly, you know, they need to use him more than just for shooting. They need to use him more as just like, you know, a spot up guy, you know, because he can be more than that. We've seen that, you know, early in the year he was having his best year in Cleveland, and then he got hurt. And, you know, Isaiah came back, and that dampened. Before he got hurt, you know, with Isaiah, you know, his production had fallen some. But they need to, like, really focus around him as their second-best guy because they need more talent. You know, you look at, you know, they've always had LeBron and Kyrie, and now they have LeBron and Love. And, You know, they have to make that work as a 1-2 punch in some way, in some manner. And I think that him and, you know, Love and Nance and Love and Tristan Thompson, you know, we've seen Love and Thompson a lot. I'm really excited to see how Love and Nance will work. Because, you know, I think they kind of cover up each other's weaknesses in some ways. You know, one's a shooter and then one's a real athletic guy who can play some defense. So I think that might be a really good backcourt for Cleveland.
Tim, I know you said that Boston and Toronto are going to be very difficult matchups in teams to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I know Boston got Greg Monroe and brought him in a couple of days before the deadline, played for the first time last night in Boston's overtime win over Washington last night. But should the Raptors and or the Celtics, should they have been more aggressive, and should they have done more at the deadline than they did?
I'm a little surprised that neither of them made a trade. But I think the reason they didn't is that they saw the buyout market. You know, obviously, like you said, Greg Monroe was the first one to fall. But I think the buyout market's gonna heat up quite a bit, actually. I think that it's going to, you know, I think that there are going to be a lot of decent players. You know, Joe Johnson is the first one that's been, you know, is definitely going to hit the market. But even past that, I think there's going to be some wings and some additional bench pieces that you can add. And I think both teams, you know, I think Toronto and Boston will both aggressively pursue people on the buyout market. And I think that's a big reason why they didn't, especially with Memphis being very very stringent and very picky about wanting a first-round pick for Tyreke Evans. And, I get it. And only one first-round pick was traded yesterday. And it was Cleveland's pick, their own pick,
right,
while keeping their better pick. So I think that, you know, teams are really, really valuing first-round draft picks for a number of reasons, and I think that just probably wasn't worth it for Boston or Toronto, and I get it. I get where they're coming from.
In terms of Isaiah in Los Angeles, he's a pending free agent. He's a guy who's already been shown to be somewhat of a disruptor when things aren't going well. And you have Lonzo Ball. I get it. When Lonzo Ball comes back, he's hurt right now, but when he comes back healthy, does it work to have Isaiah Thomas and Lonzo Ball on the same roster? And if it doesn't, should LA buy him out?
Yeah, I've heard people, you know, talk about buyouts. You know, obviously, there's this question whether he's going to be willing to come off the bench. I think he'll be fine there. I think he, you know, I don't know if they buy him out, if anybody else is going to be, you know, extremely interested in him. I think he has to rebuild his value and, you know, what people think of him. And I think he can, because, you know, right now he should not be, you know, he should not be a good basketball player right now. He's still recovering. He is still, you know, getting over this very, very serious hip injury, especially for a player, you know, who relies so heavily on his athleticism. So, you know, I don't think he's going to be right this year, you know, I'm sadly to say, and hopefully by, you know, the end of the season and then over the summer, he can kind of prove that he can get back, you know, at least close to the player he was, you know, in last season in Boston. So I think that's a good place for any of them. Los Angeles has no reason to tank. You know, they don't have their first-round draft pick no matter what happens. So you know, they can play him for 20, 25 minutes a night. And, you know, if he turns out to be a good player for them, you know, that, and he helps them win, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And hopefully he can be a bit of a mentor and you know, not be the locker room guy he was in Cleveland, but there's a very different circumstance then, and I think he'll be fine there.
Yeah, it's a more natural circumstance for him to be with, you know, being the older statement. It's more like, hey, what he had in Boston with Luke Walton now playing the role of Brad Stevens, leaning on him to teach some of these younger guys how to play in the league and how to deal with the league. But I'm just wondering, in terms of him not being a starter, Magic Johnson saying to his agent, to IT's agent, and to Isaiah Thomas, hey, look, it's not about starting, it's about coming, it's about how many minutes are you playing. And Isaiah's a ball-dominant player. We saw it in Boston. He has to have the ball in his hands. I know that Lonzo Ball's not really that type of a point guard, but how does this work in your mind with him in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I definitely think they can work together. And you know, Isaiah, to some extent, Isaiah's just going to have to accept that he is not going to have the Boston role. And I think that now that he's with a team that, you know, isn't a championship, you know, isn't trying to be a championship contender, then maybe he's going to be able to accept that a little bit more. Definitely he needs the ball in his hands. Definitely I think that, you know, he shouldn't be playing more than like 20, 25 minutes a night from what I gather, you know, when Lonzo is healthy, because that doesn't make a lot of sense, because like you said, you know, he doesn't really add a lot other than scoring. And so he can spot up off the ball, but he doesn't need the ball in his hands for a lot of the time. So, but sure, you know, as long as he's willing to accept that, and again, that's a good question, but I see a role for him. As long as he's willing to be a 20, 25 minute guy, you know, coming off the bench, or, even maybe starting next to Lonzo Ball, although I don't think that they will probably do that with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in the rotation for now. But yeah, in a role like that, I don't see the issue with it. I think Lonzo can definitely play off the ball at times. You know, there's definitely times where you're going to want him on the court by himself when, you know, running the offense. But I think Lonzo does have a pretty unique skill set where he can be a spot-up guy and so he kind of triggers fast break transition opportunities, but doesn't always have to be constantly setting up plays and things like that.
Tim Cato, SB Nation, covering the NBA for us. Tim, I'll get you out of here on this. In terms of biggest winner, biggest loser yesterday, who's your biggest winner? Who's your biggest loser?
Yeah, I think Cleveland has to be the winner. And just the sense that they had to do what they did. And again, I wouldn't necessarily say they're, you know, an amazing. I still think it's the worst team that LeBron's had since he's come back to Cleveland. But they had to change up that lineup. They had to. They had to do that. So Cleveland's a winner by getting all this done. Dwayne Wade's also a winner. I'll say Memphis is a loser for not moving that Tyrese thing, because I really thought they would. I think they got stingy, they got picky. They said we're going to only trade him for a first round pick, and then they ended up getting nothing for him, and they're probably going to get nothing for him this summer when he walks.
Yeah, fans in Memphis are not happy with the way that they played that card. That poker hand did not go. That poker hand did not go the way Memphis thought it was going to go for them with Tariq Evans, and them playing hardball did not pay off for them getting what they wanted for Tariq Evans. Tim, good stuff. Appreciate the time today.
Yeah, no problem.
It's Tim Cato, SBNation.com, covering the NBA for us here on Pushing the Odds. Next, we'll get back. We'll talk more about the Isaiah Thomas to Los Angeles deal. Look, his agent is already laying the groundwork. Isaiah said, I don't want to be traded again. He was. He gets to go from Cleveland to L.A. He's back on the West Coast. But I don't think this works in Los Angeles. I'll explain why next. SBNation Radio.